catch on fast? Was it easy to catch on for you?
Yeah.
Florence, I hear, is a pretty good teacher.
I know, she's really good.
Yeah. It's too bad she's not going to be teaching school here this year.
Last year, yeah. That's what she said, but she came back. Maybe they're going to make it again.
No, I don't think so. I think she's got another job.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. She
the same people. I was talking to this guy in town, eh?
She said she's going to go back to school.
Yeah, she is. She's in school right now. I saw her, and she said she's real tired because she's working real hard.
Mm.
You know, lots of thinking, and then by the time the weekend comes, she's just tired. She's just hooked, you know. But I was talking to Ryan, is his name,
mm-hmm.
Ryan Pritchard?
Yeah.
And he has a good job lined up for her, working with people, different people in this job. But it's not teaching in Ross River. And now he's looking for somebody for Ross River. And I was trying to think of names of people that have experience in teaching that could help out me. But I don't know anybody. Life skills, yeah, life skills, but not the other part, not the academic, like the reading and the writing. You need somebody for that area, and the life skills would be a separate one. He'd probably be good for life skills, but he's also got recreation director job, so he can't have two jobs. See, really, he should give one up. If he's going to take life skills, somebody else should get the recreational director. And or else he keep the recreation director and that's in the else kind of...
Well, George Bob should take it.
Who?
George Bob. On a grade program. It's easy, that one.
For life skills or what?
No, the grade program.
Just to, you mean just to...
Just for a grade program.
No, no, but you mean if George Bob should be working in it?
I mean Doris.
Doris. I said George. Oh, I just couldn't feature it. This guy doesn't work and he doesn't do nothing. Doris, how is Doris in school? Does she talk very much or is she quiet?
She talks a lot. She's good.
You think she could handle the life skills?
Not life skills, I mean grade program.
You think she can handle the grade program?
It's easy that one way past that.
Yeah, but wait till you get...
Yeah,
wait till you get up higher.
You
went up one level.
That already.
What level? You went up to level 5?
We're on Link now.
Link?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a higher thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the higher.
It's up to, and Link is up to grade 10, isn't it?
Two more books to go on that Link.
And you'll be up to grade 10 level. Really good. You've done very good. This is your second year.
That's your second year, yeah. First year, we both passed that grade program.
Mm-hmm.
Indoors.
Mm-hmm. So both of you are working on the second step now. Right?
Yes.
So you figure you might get it finished this year?
Two more books to go, both of us.
You figure you'll get it finished this year?
That should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Good. Well, maybe you'll be a good prospect for the blade program. For a teacher. That's what we need. We need people that are in the community that can do it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and are interested. That's the thing, if you're interested, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it's good. I always thought George Bob was sort of quiet, you know. So anyway, in your day, when you were small, where did everybody go to school?
They go to where?
What kind of school?
Indian Mission Baptist School.
Oh yeah. Where do you know whereabouts it was in town? What part of town?
Way up close to Riverdale.
Oh yeah.
Under the hill.
On the hill.
Under the hill, the big hill up there.
Oh, I know.
Past the jail.
No, the jail's way up. Church knows to do. It's way up. Was it down in the valley in Whitehorse itself? Was it down behind the, you know the old paddle wheel steamers by the river right now?
You know where the Baptist
church is right now?
Right, straight back.
Behind, and up towards the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got you. That would be behind the, not the Legion, but the Elks. Up towards the big bank,
right.
The big hill,
right,
straight behind there somewhere. And the army used to have a hospital there too.
Mm.
And I worked in the army hospital in 1950s,
mm.
and
yeah.
When I was in the Air Force. And there was a lot of little small shacks and mm-hmm. a lot of small buildings. That's probably when you're talking about. Because that's not long ago, you know, not mm-hmm. that long ago. I'm a little bit older than you are.
Did girls go or just guys?
All the kids go over here.
How come you didn't go?
Well, I took care of my mom was sick all the time.
Oh, yeah.
She go around with patches.
Oh.
Well, did your mother have polio or what did she have?
No, her leg just came out of joint, you know, right there.
Yeah, just look
on the hip. Just get out of joint so he can walk with his leg. He used patches right around his leg. And until 1951, that's Army doctor, he took the x-ray, they find out it was his leg. It's not in place. So doctor pulled his leg and then he pulled his leg back, you know, that's the wrong one, he
put it back into the socket.
And then he was okay?
And then now he walked around, but he don't use his leg very long.
She's lost that use of that muscle, I guess, the power,
eh? Yeah.
Does she use crutches still?
But you see,
no,
no,
she walked without
crutches.
The fact is that there was such poor medical help in those days, even in the 1950s, as you say,
mm-hmm.
they didn't have a nurse coming in here because they only had the old South Canal Road, which was in very poor repair, you might say. It was after the war and they had let it run down, you see. Then the only way you could get in here was fly, and they probably had just a little airstrip, eh?
Yeah.
Just a rough airstrip.
No airstrip, they landed on a river.
Oh, so they didn't even have an airstrip. Mm-hmm. And the village was over there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Over in the banks where the two rivers come together like this, you see?
That's
and
where
right
the story
here, the village was right there.
That's where the story is.
Everything was over there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the Ross River Village, and this is the Ross River, and this is the Pelly River, and the Pelly River continues down. This is actually the Pelly River we're on. And I read this book. This also probably relates to the same time. It's called Woman in the Bush. No Man Stands Alone.
Yeah.
Well, this nurse came in here, and she came in here, if she was lucky, once every month or once even, not even less than that. And she took 2 weeks to get in on the South Canal Road. Everything broke down, and it took her a long time to get in here, just to come in for a call.
Did they get a station here all the time?
What kind of station?
The nursing station. So the nurse came down regularly?
The nurse came in here once a month.
Right up until last, well, no.
Yeah.
She came in once a week
after that when they had Farrell.
Right.
Because we had a nurse over there, and then she started coming over, and I'd be filling in. But
yeah,
it used to be once a month from Whitehorse, and that went on for many years. And before that, I don't even know. How long have they had this little nursing station down here, this little...
That's not too long ago.
How many years?
1960. Not much ahead of me. 1961, that's when they start building that nursing station down here.
Oh, for goodness sake.
And 1962, that's when everything's finished at the nursing station.
And how often did the nurse come?
Yeah,
once a month?
Just once a month.
And that building is not old.
Once a month from where it is.
So what happened if somebody got sick in between?
Well, they own into where it is when somebody gets sick. And then they take them with a plane.
Oh, yeah.
Plane come over from where it is and then they take them.
What about women having babies? Did they happen here? Did they go
it
in?
It happened here.
Yeah.
Who looked after
them? Mom. Mommy always gave her hand, and Auntie Mac too.
Auntie Mac, most of them. Oh, good. Did you have any, when there was any women having babies, did you have any troubles? Like,
mm-mm.
What I mean is, did they ever run into anything that they couldn't handle that was difficult?
Mm-mm.
They were lucky then, eh? All the kids were born healthy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Anybody ever have twins?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, one. Joyce
LeDoux. Yeah. But they both died, didn't they?
They both died, yeah.
How come? I mean, were they born out here or were they born in the hospital Whitehorse?
They've gotten, they born out here. That's the one mom, he thought something happened to that mother. After the baby born, he hollered. Mom doesn't know there's not a baby was coming.
Oh, no. Oh. Were they born in the nursing station or in the houses?
No, yes, in a tent. I get really scared if I'm not a baby coming. I just call it.
I guess I have it too, you know, but so how long did they live? How long did these babies live? Not very long or what?
Well, about a month. One died a week after they were born. And then the other one died about a month after, but cool.
Do you think that the babies died because they couldn't get fed right or something? Or
no,
maybe the mother didn't have enough milk to feed them?
Cold, I think.
Oh, that's too bad. You know,
what's going on?
A thing like that, if a mother had twins and the people couldn't handle it, like there's no medical help here. Who was Father Rico here then?
Yeah.
He should have sent those people in. Sent the mother into the hospital and had a real good checkup of the whole family. And the nurse and the doctor in Whitehorse could have helped the mother to handle these two babies because they were so small and they were, you know, twins.
Mm-hmm.
That they would get them on their feet and get them really started in the formula and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That would have saved their lives because this is where people don't realize where it's really important, you know,
mm-hmm.
when they're really, really young. And that would have been nice. How old would those kids be now if they were still living?
That was 61,
mm-hmm.
Were you the first lay nurse?
No, Father Rico was before me. He was the first lay dispenser.
Oh.
And I don't know how he handled the working with women, but I suppose if there was any complications with women's problems, you'd probably have to refer to it.
Yeah.
But
he had a radio, eh?
Yeah, when somebody gets sick, they just go to him, and then he phone for him, and he just turn it up.
Yeah, and sometimes it probably wouldn't be a minor thing, it wouldn't be always a serious thing. Because I found out that it's very easy to sometimes get confused.
Yeah, he gets sick, not very much sick, and then he gives temperature to people, and then he gives my needle shot, too.
Yeah,
and it's all.
You give needles?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was before the news came for BT and things like this, and for infections, pneumonia. I've even treated pneumonia cases in their homes, given them penicillin, started them on medication, and cleared the thing up. Home nursing, everything. You know.
If people got cut, did Rigo, Father Rigo sew them up? Or did they go if they went out for that?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
But I have learned how to suture and do treatments like that, and putting splints on for fractures and trying to define whether it's a fracture or whether it's a sprain. And you look for certain symptoms, you know, and all this sort of thing, or car accidents, head injuries, you know, all kinds of, you know, every type of first aid thing that you can think of. Kidney ailments, infections, and putting them on an antibiotic that treats them for kidney infections.
Is that right?
Yeah. A little bit of everything.
In most places, a nursing
home. Oh, and I've
delivered
John Rawls' oldest son.
Is that right?
Yeah, right in his home. As a matter of fact, in the home you're living in right now.
That's right.
That bedroom.
It was
born in that bedroom. And they had a radio right in there. And it was all very handy, actually, because you don't go to most houses that have a radio in it. And you're delivering a baby. I went in there. I phoned up Dr. Black. I couldn't even radio from Whitehorse to Ross River. There was so much snow that you couldn't get through. It just faded out. I got through one message and told him I was carrying on, and he said, have you got this and this and this? And I said, yes. I had already went down and got it, you see. But I knew from my own experience of having children and working in the hospitals exactly what I should pick up. So I went down, picked it up, and just had enough time to get back and scrub my hands, and the baby was nearly there.
Was it early? Is that why it was born?
No, it was on time. But she had the labor pains from 7 in the morning and hadn't said too much about it. So I found out about 10 o'clock in the morning, and she was ready to have it.
Was she supposed to go into work?
Yeah, she was supposed to go in that plane that day, and she actually left it too late. She should have been into town before that. And here the plane was supposed to come in, and they had to cancel the plane because it was just heavy snow coming down right over the mountain. So the first time the message went through over the mountain, they were fine. The second time it was snowing so bad that we couldn't get through, and I had to radio back again, and went down, radioed down to Fort Nelson, and then up by the by telephone from Fort Nelson to the doctor, and I relayed the message. This is how I could go quite often. The weather would fade out on us. And it always happened when there was an emergency. So anyway, everything turned out successful, and I went back and checked her out that night. Started the baby on his first feed and everything, and he was doing fine. And changed her sheets, sponge bathed her and everything. She had delivered at about 10:30 or so, maybe about 11, more or less, I forgot. But at the time, just flew. And I never got away from there till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, after all excitement had subsided. And I can well remember Margaret Rose's father was running the bar then in the hotel, and father-in-law. And the mother-in-law was there, and another friend, and the people that were running the store at the time, they were all in there, and running in and out, and, you know, actually sort of some almost getting in the way sometimes, because everything was happening so fast, you know. And I remember this Shirley Moon ran in, and she was going in, and she was expecting, what, 6 months or something, and she ran in and to see how Margie was doing, and I guess she was getting a bit anxious herself, you know, and feeling very similar. I guess, you know, I'm being very concerned about Margie, so she comes into the door, stands there and looks at her and says, how are you feeling? And she goes out again, and she was going out the door, and this little dog, Pogo, she went to say, shoo, shoo, and she went to push little Pogo out of the room, and Pogo turned around and nipped her on the hand, because Pogo was John Rose's dog, and he got very anxious. I guess he could feel it too, that all the excitement was going on, and she nipped this woman in the hand from excitement, you know, she was trying to push her out of the bedroom. And then, you know, just everything happening all at once sort of thing. And then I went in and I was radioing and saying it was successful and everything, telling all the details on the radio. And as I was standing there calling out on the radio, Mr. Rolls comes along with a champagne glass. Gives me a glass of champagne as a celebration. And then I go back and, you know, and then the mother, she was recovered sort of thing, and they gave her tea and toast and everything. Kind of, you know, she was feeling better by that time, and I was quite pleased about her baby, and everybody was looking at him, you know. And then they put him in a little cot and rolled him next to the wood fire. We had a cool wood fire going in the living room, sort of thing. And so everything settled down, and then I went home at 3 and came back about 10 or 11 at night and checked on the mother again and the baby, and gave her the baby to him for the first time suddenly after he was born. And then she went in on the plane the next day. The plane made it the next day because the weather cleared up. And the nurse came out to pick her up and everything, which it really wasn't necessary, but, you know, the doctor asked me on the phone. Yeah, well, they admitted her into the hospital, and she was kept in the hospital, but she said she didn't give quite as much of attention as she had out here. It was more fun having it out here than in the hospital.
Everybody was there. Yeah.
More excitement, you know.
Yeah.
But that was really something. Anyway.
Most mothers bottle feed their babies now, is that true? Or do they breastfeed?
Yeah,
Most of them. How come?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does the nurse recommend it?
No, that's not the point at all. I know a couple of white women that breastfeed their babies.
Yeah, I breastfeed mine.
Yeah. And I don't know whether it's for the matter of convenience.
It's better, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I still say so. Yeah. I don't care what you say. I think
because
the breastfeeding is the best way.
Too hard to get them.
That's right.
I don't like to get up and mix water, so I
must be. Yeah. And something else about it, the baby is far more healthier. And when the baby is going through the teething stage, you know, when the baby starts teething, you don't have any problems.
I know.
No problems with their, all this type of thing. You know, baby gets, you know, upset. And usually they can handle the teething things pretty easy.
How long would they have breastfed? Until what, a year? What did they feed them when they started having food?
They feed them anything.
Soup.
Anything what you eat.
That was how'd they mush it all up, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, like you'd have, you put in barley and stuff in your soup, eh?
Yeah.
Put moose meat in it, just like a stew, and you get the gravy and mash it up, and the potatoes and stuff, and part of your stuff and whatever you're cooking. But any of the mothers cook any soft-boiled eggs and give their baby soft-boiled eggs in their school?
Mm-hmm.
No?
No.
They probably don't know about it, you see. A lot of little things like that that people don't realize, I guess, that, you know, they're good for their babies.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you don't feed egg to them too young. You know,
the yolk's all right.
Yeah, it's quite strong, you know, and it'll make the baby sick. But eggs are really good because you've got protein in it. You don't have a real good protein in it as well. As long as you don't feed them too much and make them sick on it.
Yeah.
Then you make them, they won't touch egg after that. You make them sick on it.
It must have happened to my husband because he won't eat eggs at all.
Is that right?
No way.
But really, like, they're tasting all like eggs. I don't feed her eggs when she's small, but she doesn't like it before. Even she don't like the smell of it.
She might get over that, though. Still, you know, she's still pretty young. People can grow up and grow these things, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they don't, too.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating, though. Can't eat eggs.
Can't cook anything for them.
No. I mean, use eggs so often.
Yeah.
So I find I don't even eat them anymore because there's no point making them for one, I guess. I don't know. It's crazy.
I always like a soft-boiled egg or something for breakfast. That's my breakfast, you know.
Yeah.
It's easy and quick. I just put on a boiling water and an egg and that's it. I don't have to worry about, you know, if I don't feel like cooking cereal.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll carry me through the morning because eggs are good.
Yeah. Yeah,
egg and a toast or something like that, and that's my breakfast.
Do little kids get regular baby food, like canned baby food now, or do they eat?
Right now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can't afford it, though, right?
Yeah, it's really expensive.
And another thing, if you don't have a fridge, you can't keep half a can of baby food.
Right.
If you know, if the kid doesn't eat it up right in one meal, and he has to be pretty old to eat up a whole can of meal, food, you know, and he has to be over 6 months to be a big eater to eat a whole can of that stuff. And supposing you eat, you open a can of peas and a can of meat kind of thing, and then a can of pears or peaches, you know, vegetable, dessert type of thing. You've got three open cans, where are you going to store them?
Yeah. Some of it tastes terrible, too. I brought some up for, I don't usually feed it to Matthew and make it in the blender, but I didn't know Abigail had it, so I bought some baby food. There's peaches and honey I opened this morning. It was horrible. Oh, it was just awful. I don't know how I made it.
Did he eat it?
Not very much. I don't think he liked it either. It didn't taste like peaches and it didn't taste like honey. It tasted sort of neither.
Yeah. Well, the kids used to eat up all the dessert part of it.
The
meat and vegetables. It just looked like it's all ground up into nothing, you know?
Yeah.
But myself, I'm old-fashioned. Now, I believe in feeding, like Grady, like Tootsie says, a little bit of gravy off your stew and some mashed potato, and you've got a lot of nourishment in there. And sometimes what I used to do is I used to take baby cereal, you know, this dry stuff, eh?
Yeah.
Put in a saucer and take some gravy off of your stew and mix it with that, and it's got flavor. And it's got nourishment, it's got everything, and it's got the cereal for the baby.
Yeah, really.
And then what I used to also do is I buy packages of prunes. And cook prunes, because kids get constipated when they're small sometimes.
Yeah.
And just prune juice, and a little bit of prune juice mixed with pavlov is terrific for babies.
Right?
Oh yeah, it's a variety.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing I used to do.
How young do babies, like, get food besides the milk? 4 months, 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think some mothers, I found from experience here that some mothers don't realize that they keep the baby on milk too long, and you know what, the baby's tummy gets really bloated, you know, and you can tell, you see a baby, that a little kid that's running around with a big tummy, you can tell he hasn't had any solid food. You can tell that he's been on milk too long.
How long is too long?
Well, I'd say a year old or things like that. Some of them even 6 months old. They've got a great big bloated stomach, and the mother probably just fills them for a milk with nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see they're not, their nutrition is, you know, they got skinny arms. That's right.
Yeah.
And they don't eat right. And some of the mothers, I don't think, realize or either that they can't afford it. You know, something, you know. And if they'd only realize it would be better for their kids, you know, to give them potatoes and a little bit of meat or something, they'd be better off.
Yeah.
So just, and sometimes they run out of milk or something at the store or something, you have to use canned milk or something, or powdered milk. No, most people use specific milk.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much
half water or straight?
No, not straight.
You've got to add water.
Yeah.
It's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Use it straight. But, other people have tried other formulas, other types of like Enfalac, but it's very hard to get.
And it's really
if you
expensive.
Wanna, and it's expensive. You want to buy a whole case, you know, you can go through a whole case in no time.
Yeah.
But, and it costs a lot of money. think it, excuse me, and then you have to order a special for my house or something. No, so it's not practical. Everybody uses Pacific in their coffee and tea and everything, so you might as well use it for the whole family.
I still don't know why people bottle feed so much work.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy.
And another thing,
maybe
I found
that's what I should do.
Yeah, boy.
I found that mother's
the baby's heavy too, and we go around and push it on the hardly. Much load too.
Yeah, well, how about powder milk? Powder milk.
Powder milk is good.
No.
But when I go someplace, I can't hear your powder. And Doreen was small.
Uh-huh.
She is powder.
Before there were bottles, if the mother didn't have enough milk, did she give the baby to somebody else?
No, we give them bottles. And they never get enough food. You know, they can't get enough out of breastfeeding.
Yeah.
We give them milk.
I want to see
but before there was milk, you know what they did? Before there was the Pacific around.
Yeah. Say, in the 1950s and the 40s even, when you were small, what did the mothers give in the babies?
They got milk given a long time ago.
Yeah.
Uncle was small, only a milk they get milk for him from way down from it.
Oh, yeah.
All the way with Dokim.
Is that right?
What about, did they
store
use it?
They up the milk for him, you know, when he was small, my grandmother died.
What about the river? Did you use the river in the olden days to go between here and Carmack?
Yeah, they used boat.
What kind of a boat?
They got motor long time ago.
Yeah, I remember motorboats back in McMurray in northern Alberta. My grandfather used them, and that was in the 1930s.
Hmm.
You know, and every year they did the same thing as your people did.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother and my grandfather went down the river, and they would go down for the whole fall, go down in the fall, take the dogs, everything,
mm-hmm.
go down for the whole winter, and come back with a lot of furs. In the springtime.
Mother,
and they
built
a tent frame.
Ryan.
What they did was they built a tent frame right in the town, just like this,
mm-hmm.
in the middle of town. Just say they went and built a tent frame right by the hotel, or right near where the white people stayed. They built a tent frame and they lived there for the winter, for the summer. And my grandmother would housekeep, and we'd all go and visit my grandmother because she lived in the town. We didn't live in the town.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go out to town and go visit, and we'd eat at her place. But
she,
I remember she had a tent frame. That's the first time I ever saw a tent frame. And she lived there all summer, quite comfortable. Right in the middle of town. And,
what's
that? She did a lot of sewing, lots of beadwork stuff. And a lot of moose work and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And she had a little sewing machine, hand-operated thing.
Mm-hmm.
But she did her own sewing. And picking blueberries.
That's the kind of people they used to use around here.
Portable, mm-hmm. to handle. Mrs. Roden Stereo still has one, and she uses it once in a while. And she doesn't even use a pattern; she just cuts it out and
I know that's
mixes.
How they do.
Yeah.
Mom, they used to dress like that over before, you know, long time ago. They used to only dress like that.
Yeah.
Just only dress. Ever since 1950, the girls and all they started using pants. First time the pants look funny on a woman.
I bet everybody laughed at me.
Yeah.
How about first time when it took long time? Looks funny with small dress.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they look funny with long dress.
Everybody got skinny legs and fat legs. Yeah.
Don't get on top there. Don't.
Where's Dorothy? Is she still around?
Mom!
Go to where she's going to get picked up.
I got
it. He's going to trade
for
it
herself?
In.
For I know. I know darn well she'd get rid of that car.
She got 2,000
on the car. Oh, they're darn lucky she did. I can't believe it. But she should have stuck with the pickup all along, eh? Because that truck, that car is so low that all the you know, the gas tank is underneath?
Mm-hmm.
And the rocks.
No.
You open your gas tank
okay.
and you've got a gas leak all the time. She's constantly having repairs to the gas tank.
They lose a lot of money on the gas tank
right.
already. That's
yeah.
why I didn't get the pickup.
Yeah, she should have got that a long time ago. That's good. I'd like to make a box for mine, you know, at the back. My truck is so darn old, I don't know if it's worth it. I'd like to get a new truck as well. Trucks are real handy up here, you know, you can model anything. Handy. Are you going to get a truck? Are you working for that?
We're going to try to get a pickup.
Good, good.
I'm surprised the government gave the nurse a car like that. You know, she'd be much better off as having higher off the grid.
Yeah, but they don't think, they. I don't know why they gave them such a big fancy car. They're big heavy cars, you know.
Yeah.
But like you say, they for this travel in the north.
For this country. Yeah. They're too low.
Too low slung, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And you go over a bump and it just, you could just about hit the bottom of your car. You can't travel on any roads, you know, off the highway because they're so slow that when you go over a bump, you just bump in the bottom of your car and you could ruin it, you know.
Yeah.
Catch on to something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We sure like to get it.
They're not the best things. I saw a panel in the paper for $500. A panel is the type of thing like the Henley's got over there with no windows on the side. But you got your front, and you could use it for sleeping in.
Mm-hmm.
You could still put your dogs in it, and you can stand up in it. It's about what? How high is the panel at the back? 4 to 6 feet.
Yeah,
well, you could just about stand up in it, eh?
Yeah.
And you can put your kids in the back without worrying about them falling out, and still have lots of room for yourself. Mm-hmm. And there was one for $500 in the paper.
Mm-hmm. Must have been pretty old.
I don't know what year it was, but. I'm just giving you an example of what you can do and what you can buy, you know?
Yeah.
In the paper.
Yeah. Do you get the paper up here?
But, you know...
But everything's sold by the
time. We get it behind, yeah, that's right. It's very outdated.
Yeah.
Here's another thing that I'd like to talk about. Did you read that, see this paper?
Mm-mm.
Did you? Did you see about Nora Oley running into the bar and all
that? No, I never read it.
Well, anyway. This is another subject. I was going to talk about this. I'll just fold it over. I don't want to lose this paper because I only got about one copy and I want to keep it for myself. But this Indian Association, now take a look at that. You didn't see that picture, eh?
We picked up Nora Oley's cousin. Little guy about this big with another little guy about this big. They were hitching down the highway one day and they wanted to get off the Sandman, so we took them into the Sandman. My cousin did that. He was really proud.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, what did they do there?
Yeah.
They haven't found out yet. They probably, she'll probably have to go to juvenile court because she's probably in the...
Hey, I see you.
Is she 16?
Yeah. Oh, God. She might end up being the correction or certificate.
Did she have a driver's
license? Unless I can't see. She'll get off her car.
Is she Ross?
Yeah, she's
from
Ross. Yeah, we really hit the headlines already. But anyway, this association now, this association now, we went in on the weekend and we formed this meeting and this group. Now, this is for people, all the Indian women all over the Yukon. Now, this is something different from Yukon YNV and Yancey. It's different because it's status people and non-status women working together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now that's the first thing. And what we'd like to do is get people in a small community like Ross River. No, the women don't have any input really, do they, in a way, into what's going on in the village. It's all run by the council and the chief sort of thing. Well, if you see that something's wrong in the village or something you'd like to change or something you'd like to help other people with, like education, health, housing, you can name all kinds of things, eh?
Mm-hmm.
That you would like to see change and help the people, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have no voice over here, you can tell us about it and say, okay, now look, this is what we need in Ross River. Now, Edith Josian told me about, I was sitting next to her and she was telling me about Old Crow. And she said something about the water system, something was poor about the water up there. She wants to help it get it changed for the people. Now there's an example, you see? So she could come to this association and say, look, this is what we'd like for Old Crow. Now, if you had something that you like, that we could help the people within Ross River, maybe help them get fridges. Here's a good example. Maybe help them get deep freezes. Maybe help them get indoor toilets. You name it. Anything. You know, maybe help them towards education field. I don't care. Anything. But you could come to this association as a member of your community and tell these people and we could help you get it because we have a voice when we go together and we can go to the government and say, look, this is what we want. We need this for the people. Because the women should have a voice too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they should have say what's going on to help their people. You understand?
Yeah.
You know, there's all kinds of things you could think of, I'm sure of it, you know, that we need for these people in Ross River. And when you can pass your opinion, and nobody's going to point the finger at you and say, look, that's Tootsie Charlie's idea, we don't want her to get this and that. We can go to an association, and the association will do the work for you. You see what I mean? Nobody can say anything to you and get after you and think that you're, you know, it's your idea. It's everybody's idea. We all work together. And next year is 1975. It's going to be an International Women's Year. That means all over the United Nations, all over the world, not only Canada, but you know where the United Nations office is, eh? The headquarters is in New York, and all the countries, people with the turbans and everybody from China, Japan, Russia, you name it, Poland, Germany, France, England, Scotland, Canada, they all go and they meet together in the United Nations in New York. Now, next year is going to be Women's Year. That means all the women all over the world, from South Africa, from Brazil, from Latin America, from Mexico, everywhere, all over the world, will be all getting together and putting their heads together, all the women. And they will be finding out about each other, how everybody lives in their different countries. And maybe some of the problems we have in Canada with our people might be the same as somebody, say, down in Mexico. Maybe they have the same kind of things. Maybe they have found a way to help their people, and we haven't. And we'll get the ideas from them, you see. Same idea, people over in Poland, you name it, all these women. Anyway, for 1975, if you've got any good ideas that you would like to work on, that we could help the people in Ross River, well, that would be good. Because we're hoping that we could get a government grant, in other words, government money, to do some project for Ross River for the women. And it'll be Ross River Women's idea, Ross River Women's thing.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And maybe we can do something that we need for the people. And when you're doing that, you're helping yourself too. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want all the, this is a far out idea, but maybe you want all the women in Ross River to learn how to get driver's license. But you know, work for something,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Get something for everybody. And have you right now got any ideas that you like for people in Ross River? Brady must be thinking. Well, have you got any ideas? Now, when your mother was a midwife, did she live right in Ross River all the time, or did she go up trapping?
I go out trapping.
She went up trapping. But did she stay here most of the winter, or did she go up and trapping all the time?
We go up the river all the time.
Tell again, sir?
No, just up here. When we live around here.
Now, your mother, when did your father die? How old were
52.
You when you were?
52.
So that's, he's been dead for nearly 21 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your mother brought up, how many kids in your family?
There are nine of us, I think.
Nine. Your mother, her mother raised all the kids on her own. Nine kids,
and
that's right, she'd probably go and do her own shopping. How many boys in your family? Worked out.
And three of us, three girls.
And the three girls are older, and the funny thing is that the girls are older, and then all the four boys came.
So the girls had to do all the work.
That's right, Tootsie's probably a good trapper and everything.
Did you
live away from where you're living
before? Just stop trapping. How long ago? Are you still trapping?
Every
winter.
Every
year.
Every
winter. Oh, is that right? Oh.
It goes out every winter, don't it? That's why they want a truck, you see. They want a truck so they don't have to...
Well, you're talking. From here, we go with Elton right up to the river.
Do you? How many miles is that? 40?
About that, yeah.
And they got a good dog team, you know?
Last year we came out really cold, or really cold, we came out of the dog team.
But listen, if you get a truck, eh?
We go up with a truck from here, somebody take us up from there, we come down on dog team.
Mm. How long do you go for? Once? All winter?
Yeah.
Well, you go up before Christmas, eh? About November or October, and stay up till Christmas time, eh?
Yeah.
And then they come back for a short break, and then they come back out. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Usually they, something like that, and then they go up for a long while, too.
Do you take food out and cash it?
Oh, what kind of dried foods do you take out that don't feed them? Mm-hmm. What kind?
Just rice and chili, cornmeal, all this dried stuff.
Yeah. What about macaroni too, eh?
Everything.
Everything that's dried stuff you take out. What
all
about
the
dog food? Food? What kind of dog food do you
take? Dog food. We take oats and dog meat.
Uh-huh.
25 pound dog meat. It lasts a long time with the oats.
Oh yeah.
And then you add scraps if you get any animals and
when
stuff.
When we get
the food,
well, we just feed the meat.
Is that right?
They save the dog meat for her too.
Oh yeah?
When
oh.
we get her dog meat, comes in there.
When you feed them moose meat for dog food, do they have to eat a lot or do they eat less?
Less
because it takes them a long way, eh?
Yeah.
It lasts longer for
them. So they get fed once a day or twice a day?
Once a day.
At nighttime or morning?
Night.
Night.
Evening.
After you finish trapping and everything and settling down for the night, you feed them. And then you get your wood ready and for the house to keep your fire going all night, eh?
Yeah.
Usually,
we don't keep the fire all night.
Just let it go out.
How many people go with your group? Is that right?
Yeah, most times. What was I going to say?
Me alone, before I go out alone.
Is that right?
Just with my dogs.
How many dogs?
Four.
Four dogs. You're braver than I am. What was I going to say? You
I
live in a tent?
I read at them. Keep me company.
when you go out to your track line that you have out there, have you got a cabin or do you live in a tent? Mm-hmm. At what temperatures? 50, 60, 70 below sometimes, huh?
Well, this is not as long as you can exist over.
Yeah. But do you
in then?
Yeah. But do you bank up your tent?
No.
You don't bank it up with snow to keep it warm?
No.
I know
way.
That's really something.
Just we set tent, we put sticks around it to hold the tent down. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Have you got any coffee left?
But once you get used of right here as well. Once you get used of the cold, it's good, you know.
Yeah.
You're all right. When you get in a house too, it's too hot for you.
Yeah, the change.
Once you get used of the tent.
Do you feel like eating a lot of fat when you're like that? Yeah.
The fat keeps you warm, you know. It keeps your body warm, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's so.
What when you go out like that and you're trapping like that, you don't have time to cook a lot of food and stuff. You take things like raisins and stuff to keep you going?
Yeah.
Raisins have got a lot of energy.
You keep it in your pocket.
Yeah. And chocolates?
Mm-hmm.
Do you eat chocolate too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't take potatoes out because they freeze.
No, too heavy.
But one thing about potatoes, you
but
can
you
take...
get the dry potatoes out.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're real good. Dehydrated stuff,
yeah.
No?
Yeah.
And I bought a 100-ounce type ones. And we just kept...
That's longer inside a can.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. You just open up a little bit so you can pour it over there.
Yeah.
And it's cheaper, too, if you buy it by the big
When we run out of dog food, we feed that kind to our dogs.
Well, they eat it, sure.
It's really good.
Just add hot water and it'll thicken up and they'll have something to eat. But you see, sometimes it gets really pretty tough when you get out there.
When it's really cold, you can get moose.
Yeah. The moose aren't moving around, you see, and then your supplies will drop.
When they
hear
your moose, they'll run away too long.
Mm-hmm. The cold air carries the sound, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So they just
crunchy,
go take off.
Yeah. How many miles is your track on?
Well, we're going on in a place and everything, but
oh, I guess not. No, I thought if you had a high school life, yeah.
After everything goes, I give you meat after. Tell them it's frozen.
What was I going to say? When you happen to take out potatoes sometimes when the ready gets warm and you buy some potatoes, once they're frozen, they're okay, as long as you cook them right away.
Yeah.
You leave them frozen, see?
You keep it frozen.
You can leave them
sitting
outside.
And
just cook them. They're okay. So I was told that before, and it works.
But
if you let them thaw out, they get all runny and mushy, and that's it, they're finished. They start going bad then. They all turn to water. You know how much fluid there is in a potato.
Even
caramel,
once it's frozen, you keep it in frozen.
Yeah. Keep frozen and sort out and then use it.
Yeah, right.
But you can use potatoes. I've seen people sitting, the potatoes sitting outside in the porch, and they'll use them up just when they need them. They'll just bring them in and use them to keep them and just eat them frozen. And it's quite workable, you know. And you buy a lot of soup mixes and stuff like that, and, you know, your dried beans.
Yeah.
Or your baked bean stuff, you know, you can make bean soup out of it and add some moose meat and a little bit of bacon and you've got a nice flavor and an onion, you've got a soup, you've got something filling because beans have got protein in them too, they're
right.
Very high on mineral content.
Do you pack things like onions around?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about onions if they freeze? Are they okay to use? They're not like
potatoes.
Well,
you keep it frozen.
Yeah. They're still usable, you know. But barley and barley, all your lentils are the best thing you can ever get, you know, for food for taking out with you. And of course you use all your moose meat, you know, boil it up and get a real good meal.
Do you go out and pick berries in the fall and keep them in the for the winter?
Well, sometimes.
What's around here?
I don't pick more berries. There's large blueberries and have the hill customers.
Cranberries. You've got the ideal thing right here, deep freeze. And you can just put, blanch them? I don't know if you have to even blanch berries.
I don't think you have to. Put them in.
You just put them in bag, plastic bags, wrappers, and this. My mother used to do that.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Now, she was interested in something about medicines.
Yeah. Before the nurses and doctors started coming.
Well, some people still use them, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Spruce
bark, spruce gum,
mm-hmm.
And what other kinds of things?
From the tree, from the womb. Mm-hmm.
What would you use the spruce gum for?
To
heal
sores. Remove sores. Yeah. You got sores, you patch it up with it, and then later on you peel it up.
It draws all the poison away. But
is that just from like in the springtime or all year round you can get the gum?
There was a Julia Allen was telling me about some, and I couldn't remember because she just tells me fast. But there's a thing called kinnikinick. Is that right? You ever heard of that before?
I heard about it.
It's a low bush. It grows on the ground quite flat, and you can make tea out of it. My mother said something about kinnikinick, you know,
yeah.
And she comes from northern Alberta. And my mother's Cree, but Julia Allen, who comes from Ross River, knows about the same thing, and she said, you know, you can make tea out of it. And she said, she told me now, and I don't remember names, but she told me there was also a type of bush that you could make a tea or something out of it.
Hudson Bay tea, you know Hudson Bay tea?
No, what's a Hudson Bay tea?
There's a... Just a little high bush like this.
Yeah, that's probably the same one we're talking about. And what's the leaf like?
Just like a willow leaf.
Oh yeah.
But it's tiny though.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny.
Very small. Yeah, shaped like a willow leaf.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a flat?
I will bring it to you then if I find it.
Hudson Bay tea, that's a good one.
Long time ago, there's a Hudson Bay company around. They run out of tea, you know.
No,
they ask
yeah.
people for
yeah.
Hudson Bay tea. They pick up those Hudson Bay tea for the store,
Yeah.
And then they bring it to the store, the storekeeper, they dry it, you see?
Yeah.
And then they pack it up inside a paper bag, they sell it to that Indian after all, they pick it up.
That sounds like that. Oh, yes.
That's why everybody calls it Hudson Bay Tea.
Oh. So that's where they got the name Hudson Bay Tea.
Uh-huh, because they bring it to Hudson Bay Company, the store.
Uh-huh.
They dry it, they pack it up, they sell it back.
That's real good. You want some coffee?
Might
as well have one with us. This, what I was telling you about, this herb, or whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
that Bella or Julia Allen was telling me about, she said that this medicine, or whatever it was, you could take it and use it, and the women use it for birth control, so they don't have any children.
That anti-abortion mother, you know.
Oh yeah, from seriously.
She told me that
yeah?
about it, but I couldn't remember it.
Couldn't remember the name.
Yeah,
I
wonder if
remember it. You name it in any way, you know, but...
Well, Julie Allen told me.
I
can't find out the name, but this is interesting, you know. It makes you realize Indian people
mm-hmm.
have lots of good ideas that white man hasn't even thought of.
How did they use it?
I don't know how they use it. I haven't got a clue. But maybe it was a herb, eh? And maybe they made a little strong medicine. Not like a tea, but maybe they boiled up and make it real strong, you see? And
mm-hmm.
just take, maybe you might, I'm just using my imagination. And maybe using a small dose, you know, maybe one or two teaspoonfuls, and it might be real strong and bitter and everything, but you take it down, you see? You know, that type of thing. And listen, something else, this goes to something else. Talking about herbs and stuff, was there anything like like anybody that believed in witchcraft and a witch doctor, would he give you a medicine and say, here, this will make you feel better, and use the herbs
mm-hmm.
or tree
mm-hmm.
and roots and stuff like that?
No.
No. I just wondered, you know, because quite
mm-hmm.
often they do this, you know. They would give you something different. Like Emma Jo, she uses it. Doesn't she use it a little bit? She still uses it. I'm sure she does.
Mm-hmm.
I think she does. I'm just, I have a feeling she does, because she's so old, and I think that she would use this kind of thing. And is there anybody else like that uses this? What about Alex Shorty?
I don't know. Only his father.
The old man. You mean...
You mean you think when you start getting older and they use that kind of smoke, it's not good, you know? Why? Well, but why do they use this when they get older? This is, why don't they use it when they're younger? Why do they use it when they're getting older? Well, he can go away from you once you use what you use. You mean he'll cast a spell on you, and whenever he's done to you and he wishes that
something happens to you, say, and that thing will not leave you.
He can't leave you.
Oh.
It's dangerous.
I agree with you, it is dangerous.
That's why you say that old man, this old man, he's like that about moose, you see. He started getting older, he just took off. You see what happened? He went and stepped off.
Oh, Peter Joe?
Uh-huh.
No, wait a minute now, let's get this. You mean to say that you think that somebody put a spell on him?
No, he's mentioned about a moose. That's why when he gets old, he's scared of people, so he just wandering away.
What was that about? Something about a moose?
Uh-huh.
He
medicine with a moose.
He made medicine from a moose?
No, with a moose.
With a moose.
Oh,
you mean to say he was communicating with a moose?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the moose.
Uh-huh.
And were the moose drawing him away from the people?
Yeah, because he gets scared, you know, he's scared of people.
Oh,
when
I see.
He gets old.
Right. So there, his natural reaction was to leave the people and
mm-hmm.
run away from them, eh?
Yeah.
And
well,
so
moose scared of people.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
That's why. Yeah.
So he went out, and he went out at 8 o'clock in the morning. He had been drinking all night at his place, to see what happened. From what I gather, anyway, from talking to him.
I know. They told some, those people, you know, they don't want people drinking
yeah.
around here. He said
yeah.
he's scared of people. But those people, they get drunk, they all come to his place.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't know he took off.
Right, and at 8 o'clock in the morning, in the Paul McLeod and them saw him going by about 8 o'clock in the morning, and he said he was going out towards the RCMP. He went over to buy a telephone pole or something in front of the bar, and he went around that way. I presume he went around by the RCMP and went back back by the community hall somewhere on the fire guard along that way, and he traced his tracks way over here, and he went down the airport strip, you know.
Yeah.
And they found his body down at the other end of the airport.
Was it winter?
No, it was the summertime.
Really?
It was about, when was it?
About June.
Is that right?
Yeah. And everybody looked around for him. They
we looked for a whole month, you know, his body was gone. They didn't find him for about 2 months, and it was
September.
And you know who I picked up the scent from? The one night I was coming home in a truck at 11 o'clock at night, and I smelled this smell, and it was a real warm night, and the wind was carrying up.
Yeah.
And I was on the other side of the graveyard, along the street stretch before the graveyard, you know, where you come down the hill there.
Yeah.
With that white fences, and I smelled this, and I never smelled anything like it in my life before. And I knew it was a dead body. But I just, something told me it was. And I phoned up Dick Bitt, who was not here that night. He was over in Farrell. And I says, Dick, I think I found him at Peter Joe. And he says, well, and I went to find the RCMP guy, the local guy, and he wasn't here, you see. He was out somewhere on his motorcycle or something. And he says, well, I'll phone Brian. I'll tell Brian as soon as he gets back. He's just out around Ross River somewhere. I said, okay. So Brian come back, and he looked around, and he went back up to the top of the hill there where that scent had been reported. See, I reported right as soon as I found it.
Yeah.
Picked up the scent. And he couldn't find it. He couldn't pick up the scent because maybe the wind changes or something. But you know, the scent was carried from all the way down the airport, which is way down here. And it's, how old is, long is that airport now? Half mile long? It's a fair long distance now. But his body was way down there, and the wind carried it way up to the top of the hill and way over there, and that's where I picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was missing again, you know, and the policeman went out and looked around, but he didn't find it, eh? We didn't know it was down there. I thought it was up around the bushes by the graveyard somewhere, because that's where I smelled it. So we went over on a first aid case to Farrell, about a week later or something. We were coming back, and I said to Brian, I said, this is exactly where I picked up the smell. So he got out of his truck, it was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon or 8 o'clock at night or something. And he got out and he says, I smell it too. And he went dashing into the woods, you know, right from the truck, and he couldn't find it. He says, oh, I'll come back. He says, I'm going to get my old clothes on. He says, I'll come back and look around later. So he come back and looked around. Of course, he didn't find it again.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Edsel and his wife were walking across the airport one day down there. Maybe they're going
were hunting around for Corcoran.
Yeah, they were hunting around. And Mrs. Edsel went by, she was, and she saw these pair of running shoes sticking straight up like this, you know, heel up, you know, and the toe up to the, and she thought, oh, a new pair of running shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then she thought, gee, they're funny, they're sticking up the wrong way, you know, and she took another look, and here's this man lying there, and he was nearly deteriorated, of course. And he had taken his coat off and rolled it up and put it as a pillow under his head. But anyway, they immediately came back and reported it, and so the police went right out and, brought him back, but they had to put him in a body bag and everything, and one policeman picked him up and carried him by one hand.
Exactly.
He says, don't handle him, he says, he's very fragile, and I said, don't worry, you won't catch me near it.
Yeah,
that was it. And you know what, through that time, I just want to finish this.
Yeah.
After, when we had the funeral, and Peter Aspel came over to have the funeral, eh? Well, Emma Jo sent over a brand new blanket, beautiful new blanket, and she sent over, and I was in the post office then, and one of the relatives came over and said, Emma Jo wants this put on the body. So she had the whole body bag, everything, even though we couldn't see the body, you see, because the coffin was closed, eh? And before they put him in the coffin, they wrapped him up in this blanket. Wrapped him up in this new blanket, and then just left the coffin closed, but she wanted him wrapped in a blanket.
Mm.
And probably to keep him warm.
What relation was he to her?
Her husband, right?
Oh,
that's the old people in
that
picture.
Oh, right, yeah. You never, I didn't know how he died.
Yeah.
Right, right. Jeez.
This is all, like we're saying, part of history that I remember, you know. And
yeah.
And,
he was really old, eh? How old was he, do you know?
I got the picture. She's going to print that, I think. I hope she does, you know. It's really a nice picture of these people. By the way, if any credits, I took the picture.
Yes, Mark.
Yeah.
Full credit.
Do you think I could take a picture of you?
Sure.
Yeah? To get the camera.
But look at, what can you do? You can't change people when they're old. They get old, they get set in their ways. And what was I going to say?
Do you think you can get into my verse?
Do you think Emma Jo, she understood like how Peter Jones felt about this? About this thing about him going that way, about the moves and everything. Did she understand that, you think? Did she know about it?
No, that's her husband.
Yeah. Do you think that she talked to him about it at all?
Got a bit.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I wonder if he told her about it. Mm-hmm. Or did he just keep it? If he didn't tell her?
He don't keep it secret. His wife
knew. Oh, I see. Not any other animals, just moose. Caribou? Just caribou or moose too?
Just caribou.
Just caribou.
That's why it's moose. When you start getting old, it starts carrying away, like me.
Well, we never talked much about this. Is there any other type of thing besides the custom baked tea that we're talking about?
There's some kind of willows too, but I don't know the name in English.
Yeah. What, how do you say it in Indian?
I
don't know. Say it. Don't be shy, Grady. I mean, it took me down to learn it too. See, I can pick up these words.
Bush. I don't know what's wrong with this. Just like willows, but it's like yellow flowers on it.
Yeah.
On the high bush, yellow flowers on it. Just like buttercup. Just like the flowers, the yellow flowers.
Oh, yeah.
Just like that kind.
Like shaped like this?
Uh-huh.
It's
only
yellow.
Primrose?
I don't know.
A lot of flowers on
its lots side. Of flowers,
yeah.
About this long.
Yeah,
right. That kind, too. Just the lumps, you break it up,
yeah.
You boil it, you know.
Yeah.
Is it medicine? Tea? Or just tea? What do you use it for tea? Like a willow tea. Uh-huh. Well, how would you say in Indian it, like a willow tea? What happens if somebody really cuts themselves before there was a nurse or doctor? What would you put something on the cut to
pull it back
together?
They just put it together and then they rub it up.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like I found that people have having nosebleeds, eh?
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to put. They don't realize they should put a pressure on the nose to stop the bleeding. They bleed all day before they do anything, before they can help the person. And I had this happen right in the village. A kid with his nose was bleeding all day before they finally come and told me about it. You know, and I plugged the nose up, and there was snow on the ground. I said, "Go out and get some snow. Put some snow on the back of the neck and on the forehead." Something cold, you know, and then it would stop the nosebleed, and then plug up the nose, you know.
Just like that.
Yeah. Little, sometimes, did you ever try, if anybody had a real bad cutter, did you ever try sewing anybody up a thread and putting it together?
Only a long time ago, mom's stepmother, that's what he'd been doing, was silk thread.
Yeah?
He thread up.
People.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out.
Help people.
What about infection? Did it get infected?
No, they can't get infection a long time ago. Not like this.
Right.
Yeah. Did you take Dorothy in with you? Hmm? Did you take Dorothy?
Okay. I see. I just could see that it was on or off. Now, Tootsie, maybe you could come and sit here, and I could sit over there. Because you're a soft speaker, and I'm a loud speaker. Now, I would like you to ask her some questions that she could reply to. Now you come and explain it to her in your language. You come and tell her that we would like to ask her about her old time. Do you want her to sit there next to
mm-hmm.
you? Okay.
I'm talking too low.
You were a very soft speaker, because when we were listening back on it, we couldn't hear you because you were a soft speaker. Could you sit over here? You can put it in your own language, Tootsie, and don't feel embarrassed or anything else. If I knew how to speak Cree, I would be speaking Cree myself right now. No,
Cree?
Yeah, Cree is my mother's language.
You don't speak it?
No. I know a couple of words, but not enough to make a language of her conversant. No. Could you tell her in your own language so she will understand that what we want to do, we want to ask her about when she was, how people lived and how the women, what kind of work and how did the people live in the old, younger days when she was a real young girl, what she remembers. Well, I know, but I would like you to ask questions now. You tell her right now that what we're going to do so she'll understand. Go ahead. Put these on, great, Tootsie, or, sorry. Okay. Translate it for us now. You tell us what you said. Well, okay, now I ask a question and then you ask her, okay? What kind of houses or what did they live in when she was a girl, what she remembers? Did they make a tent frame, or did they have the tent right on the ground? What did they I'd like to ask her. You ask her. You think of things to ask her too now. Did she live? Did they cut spruce boughs to sleep on them, or did they have mattresses, or did they, when they lived in a tent all year round in the winter time, did they bank the snow up around the tent? You know, this is the kind of thing I want to know. Did you have the campfire?
We put the trees around the tent, and then they put snow around it.
Oh, I see. And that would sort of pack the snow against the tent and keep it warm, like an insulation, eh?
And they put a spruce tree around it.
Good. Where was the campfire? Was it inside of the tent?
No.
You couldn't have it inside the tent, because you had no smoke stack to go through the chimney, sort of thing. So where
and
was it?
They put the fire right there, so you put the tree around it too, so the smoke can go up.
Oh, I see. So you got heat. You would go in from your tent into where this little area around your fire, and then you would it would keep you from getting cold, and you would sort of have heat inside of this area, and the smoke would go up straight up. That's a good idea. So you did all your cooking in this little place, probably, around your camp. You did your cooking on the campfire, but you had it all closed in with trees and things, and that would also protect all your food from animals and everything too, I suppose, in the winter time, or even summertime. Spruce trees, eh? And of course, then if you cut the trees down, then you would use the spruce boughs for lying on, and you put your blankets on top of the spruce boughs. What kind of blankets did you use in the olden days, before store blankets? Lots of sheepskin, eh? I bet they were warm, eh? What about bearskin? No, why? No, let me ask you a question.
Superstition. For women to touch that bearskin, you know, long time ago.
Oh, why?
Even now, it's still like that.
Why for a woman to touch? Why not a man? I mean, why do you say woman?
Because they don't bring it close to the woman. They make gopher skin blanket.
Oh, yeah.
Groundhog skin blanket for summer.
Uh-huh. Now, the gopher skin and groundhog skin, did you have to tan it at the back to keep it nice so it wouldn't go bad? You have to tan it, eh? Did it take very much to tan a gopher skin?
It doesn't take too long.
Well, how do you tan a gopher skin? What do you do to it?
You scrape it off with a rock.
Okay, scrape it off, then what else do you do to it?
That's all.
And just let it dry?
Just keep on until it turns into soft.
Right.
Soft.
Just work the skin. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't, I was just thinking about that. If you did that to a gopher skin, you know, their hide isn't very thick. If you did that too much, you'd wear a hole in it, wouldn't you?
Well, it wouldn't, unless you take care of the hole you did it.
Right.
You don't have to just keep on until the holes.
Yeah.
So I turned some last summer, I think, for a mountain.
Oh, I see.
I just do like this.
Yeah, and sort of...
A little bit with a rock, you know,
right,
like
right,
my skin.
Right.
Just a little bit.
Just, yeah.
And turn it soft really fast.
Mm-hmm. What else about blankets?
But beaver skin takes a long time.
Right. But beaver skin is very tough, eh? Because it's an animal that lives in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So there was sheep skin that they used. What about a moose hide? With the, you leave the hide fur on. Is it any good for a blanket?
I don't think so.
Ask her.
Just make it soft. Just like right now, you make it soft. They use it for blanket too. That's what she said.
A moose hide?
Mm-hmm.
As well as a, yeah, because it's big, eh? It's just like
they
a big sheet.
They don't use no fur on it.
Oh, I see. They take the fur, you scrape all the fur off,
mm-hmm.
and just work it soft,
mm-hmm.
and then you use it for a blanket.
Yeah.
You use it for the bottom,
just
like
for
a
blanket. Mm-hmm.
Oh, very good. And it would stop the cold, and...
it's really good, you know.
Then you use your sheepskin underneath, that you'd lay on that, and then you'd hold the heat, eh? It's real good. You know what they use
that
for?
Caribou skin. That's the one they use it for mattress.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they leave it for on. But if caribou's got shorter hair, eh?
I know.
Yeah. And you do the same. You scrape the hide off of the back and leave it for on.
Yeah.
What else? You got sore back?
Mm-hmm.
What now?
This is something, now we talked about blankets, we talked about how she lived in the younger days.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do for storing meat? Now, you build a cache in the ground, you dig a hole in the ground,
mm-hmm.
and...
They put the cache up...
Up where? In the trees?
You know, in the trees.
Yeah.
Big four-way cache, big cache.
Yeah.
And they dry meat, and gopher, all
mm-hmm.
what they eat, everything.
Right.
They cache them. Some people, they have a lot of family, they cache lots for the winter.
Right.
When it gets really cold, where you cache your dry meat, food, you got to go back and get it.
Yeah.
From where you cache.
How do you keep the bears and animals and stuff from climbing up to that cache?
They don't climb up because they cache food in the fall.
Oh.
Around October, they start caching.
Oh, I see.
And no bear can get
of course, bears go to sleep in the winter anyhow,
yeah,
eh?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they're the ones that are the only big animal that's going to get the food. I mean, the wolves can't climb
mm-hmm.
the trees
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that smell the meat, eh?
Wolverine does, but
oh,
they make a little house, though, inside, mm-hmm. on top of the cache.
Mm-hmm. So they close it right in.
Uh-huh.
I heard the wolverines are really vicious animals, and they can really tear your whole camp apart and everything. Well, what else? Now, ask her what she remembers when she was a girl. How many people lived in Ross River, like?
Yes,
a long time that I knew you. It's a old magic with you, long time that I knew you. Lots of love, old man, yes, it's a little, yes, still.
There's lots of people,
the
old man,
everything. Lots of old people, eh?
Lots of people.
Well, now, we're talking about old people. Did the family look after the old people when they got old? Did the young family looked after them and looked? What about when they had to go, if they lived in Ross River and they went out to the bush for the winter or something, what would they do with the old people?
Well, like young kids, they better look after them.
But there was no school then, you see. In her day, there was no school, eh? So she stayed home.
Mm-hmm.
Does she remember, ask her if she remembers the paddle wheel steamers coming up here and everything, and what was the name? Were they run by T&D or who? How far did they come?
That
here, they had to push it and then they... I didn't know how well it came, how they used to sit down for it. She was on our way to the school. She was totally late, of course.
I don't know the name, is it?
There's
some waiters. T&D? What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? What's your
name? They said he don't know the name.
The name of the boat or the name of the company?
The name of the company.
But they
name of the boat, they said he don't know who.
Did the boat just come up and stop Ross River and go back again?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. They can't go too far from here.
Yeah, I know. How many times a year do they come? Do they come once a month in the summertime?
Every July.
Oh, my goodness sakes. Just every July.
Mm-hmm.
Do many people come here to trade then?
There's two stores. Every July. It's a big boat, they say, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like in Whitehorse?
Mm-hmm.
Big boat, like in
big
Whitehorse?
Big boat, yeah.
Huh?
Oh.
That's why it's only one a year. See, every July.
Mm-hmm. Well, what did they do? Did they bring the people some food and trade with furs and stuff? Ask her. She might remember a little bit about that.
So I was the skin, the skin is out there, and the other one, so I believe.
His poo-poo, when he was a child, he was a child, he was a child.
They
must
money for the bear.
For the what?
For the skin.
So if they made money selling the skins,
mm-hmm.
What did they do with their money?
Well, they buy
food.
Buy food. What else did they buy? Did they buy guns?
Got a bear.
Yeah, and what else? Traps?
Traps.
New blankets? Clothes for the kids, eh?
Mm-hmm.
And so they would do all their shopping once a year. Is that what they would do? Buy all everything once a year? Just once a year?
No, just they buy something all the time. Store, yeah?
Oh, I understand. Well, how did the store get their stuff in here? Ask her how the store brought out and their freight.
Well, that's the one that freight just once a year in July.
With the boat?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I understand. So the people went and did their trading at the store. The boat was
the store, you know, right here.
What's the, ask her what the name of the stores were.
T&D's right here, and T&D's Pullman too. That's for the boat store, that one trip, the boat train.
Oh, I see.
And from here, then. This cross is cross for Pella Bank. It's a part too. They put it apart, you know, Shepherd. And then from here, it's the big boat. They call them Scowie.
Scowie. Scowie. Is that boat? Indian word for boat?
He's Scowie.
Uh-huh. And that kind of people.
Yeah.
They put two more in the back, but some people they pull them too. You know where they lift water?
Yeah.
All the way up.
Sort of like
the
rapids, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To get it up to the other, up to the
up
other
here.
Store. Right,
uh-huh.
Right. I got you.
Can you?
Yeah.
They so far to there. From there, they got to pack.
Overland, yeah. They had to pack it overland, and then
uh-huh.
they get back on the river again, eh?
And then they load up another big boat again from there.
Oh. How many months would this take? You know, or weeks or months?
About a month.
A month to bring freight from Ross River up to Pelly Banks, mm-hmm. right?
Just by boat, yeah.
Just by boat.
There's a lot of people working with it too, isn't it?
Yeah.
And uncle was working with him all the
time. He would be quite young then.
Mm-hmm. I remember. I wanted to get candy, so I helped them on that.
Yeah.
Get a little food and pack them through here.
Yeah, yeah.
Did people
get
away from the boat?
But that would be the steamer
here,
but up there, I don't know. This there would be just a motorboat, eh?
Yeah. How many people live in Pelly Banks? Is it bigger than Ross?
Just a little village, just one store, trading post.
Just one.
Yeah.